are on Samach Dalet Amud Aleph 64a. We are about 5-6 lines down. I apologize. I have to go a little faster than I would like with today's daf. But I realized I forgot my tefillin at home, so I have to grab them before minyan. Brought them home for a touch-up yesterday and completely forgot to bring them back this morning. But this is a great daf. We're in the middle of a discussion that began because we wanted to know about bringing the Omer on Shabbos and whether it's better to have one malacha with a lot of strain involved in it, or many malachos with less strain. And it came up two different ways in the Mishnah. The first way is the one that we begin with, and the question of how much grain you're actually cutting. Rabbi Yishmael said that we distinguish. He says during the if the night that you're cutting the Omer is a week night, then you're actually going to cut 5 sa'ah of grain. But if it's Shabbos, you just cut 3 sa'ah. That way you do fewer malachos because of all the processing needed in order to process the grain initially, but you're going to have to do more sifting. That's better than if you were to cut 5 sa'ah, and then you have to, Rashi gave us some of the list, you have to harvest it, you have to winnow it, you have to do the initial filtering, and then later and so on. It's better to do less of that, even though you'll have to do more sifting in order to get the isaron of flour that you want, and also, even though your product in the end will be inferior. That's a side point here. We haven't mentioned it yet. It's going to come up in the rest of the discussion. But what we want to do is find analogous views in other cases. Do we find other people who took this position that Rabbi Yishmael took regarding the Omer? And that's what we want to know. So our first attempt, which we did yesterday, was to make an analogy to the case of Rabbi Shmuel ben Noshir, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka regarding the Karban Pesach and skinning the Karban Pesach if Erev Pesach is Shabbos. Do you skin it the entire way in order to get the fats out, or do you just skin it the minimum amount that's needed, even though it's going to be harder for you to do it this way? And that was our discussion yesterday. Can we connect the two? And we said not necessarily. We said, on the one hand, perhaps Rabbi Yishmael himself would say skin the whole animal there, because of the concern for Bizayon Kachim, degrading the carbon by leaving it out half-skinned. So maybe Rabbi Yishmael there would agree. And maybe Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka would change his stance with us and say, no, you should do 5 sa'ah because you'll make a better product that way. And because it's ultimately justified, the Omer overrides Shabbos. We said that's not necessarily analogous. All of our attempted analogies are going to fall apart, not just this one. So might as well know that going in. We're on the sixth line in Samach Dalet Amud Aleph. Ella Omer Rabba. Rather, Rabba says, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Chaninas Ganakonim, Amru Davar Echad. Rabbi Shmuel, with his comment about the 5 verses of the 3 Sa'ah, says the same thing as Rabbi Chaninas Ganakonim, who was also in our Mishnah regarding the Omer. Rabbi Chaninas Ganakonim was the one who said, on Shabbos he used 1 harvester instead of using 3 people. So he says it's the same idea at work. Disnan, as our Mishnah said, Rabbi Chaninas Ganakonim Omer, B'Shabbos Nikzer B'Yachid. On Shabbos he used 1 person, and therefore B'Magol Echad he's using 1 sickle, U'Bekupa and 1 box to catch the grain. Ubechol was during the week, b'shlosha, b'shalosh kubos, b'shalosh magalos. 3 people, and therefore 3 boxes, and therefore 3 sickles. V'chacham omrim echad Shabbos ve'echad chol, b'shalosh kubos, b'shalosh magalos. And the chachamim said we don't distinguish. So we would like to suggest that mi lo ka'amar b'chaninas ganakonim hasam came into efshar lo tarchinan. Is Rabbi Chaninas ganakonim saying the same thing? Since, as Rabbi Shmuel said, Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, the first Rabbi Shmuel had said, that we try to make do with less because it's Shabbos. You can do it with 1 harvester. So why do it with 3? To which the Gemara says, and the idea would then be, Hachanami came into Efshar lo tachinan. Here too, since you can do with 3 sa'ah, you don't need 5 sa'ah. To which the Gemara says, not necessarily. Mimai, how do you know that they really would say the same thing? Dilma, perhaps. Ad kan loka am Rabbi Shmuel hacha. Maybe Rabbi Shmuel only made his statement regarding 3 sa'ah versus 5 sa'ah. Ela deleka persume nisa. Because there's no issue there of take more sa'ah in order to create greater publicity. The value of persume nisa, what I listed in the table on your sheet, as the additional factor that affects this other case, is you want to do the persume. You want to publicize it against the tzedukim, as we'll come back to in the Gemara, or Baitusim, as Rashi called them. Aval Hasam, but in the case where you're actually choosing one harvester versus three. The Ika Pirsule Nilsa, there's the issue of publicizing it. Ema Karabanan Sphirole, maybe he would agree with Rabbanan, do three harvesters. So Rabbi Shmuel would not necessarily agree with Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim. And for that matter, Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim may not agree with Rabbi Shmuel in our case. Inami, alternatively, Ad Kan Lokam Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim Hasam, Dei Bechad I Beshlosha Tzorach Gavoa Misavid Kel Haso. Maybe Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim only said that we use one person versus three because at the end of the day, you did what the Beis HaMikdash needed you to do, you cut to the Omer. Abal Hacha, but in our case, because we go with three Sa'a instead of five, Delois Avid Kil Chaso, Tzarech Gavoa, where you didn't end up doing what the Beis HaMikdash needed properly because you end up with an inferior product, Ema Kerabanan Svirole, maybe he would agree with Rabbanan that you go with five Sa'a. So you can't necessarily assume what I assumed when I first read the Mishnah, which is that these two cases were similar. They're not necessarily similar. Ella Amar Ravashi. Rather, Ravashi said, I'll give you the analogy. The analogy is to the moon testimony case. What happens if the moon is seen clearly? So when I see the moon, I know everybody else saw the moon also. Should I violate Shabbos in order to go testify? Or do I say, look, somebody who lives closer saw it, and isn't going to need to break Shabbos in order to get there? Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Amar Davar Echad. He says, Rabbi Shmuel, in our discussion about five Sa'a versus three Sa'a, said the same thing as Rabbi Yossi regarding the moon testimony. It's not, as the Mishnah says, Bein Shenira Ba'alil or Bein Shalom Nira Ba'alil, whether the moon is seen clearly or is not seen clearly, Mechal in Olav Es HaShabbos, either way, you break Shabbos in order to get to the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Im Nira Ba'alil, Ein Mechal in Olav Es HaShabbos, and Rabbi Yossi disagrees and says, if the moon is seen clearly, you don't violate Shabbos. End of quote. So, Milo Amar Rabbi Yossi Hasam Kevin Devshar Lo Tarchinan, isn't Rabbi Yossi saying there, since it's possible to achieve the goal of testimony without you violating Shabbos, don't go. That's Rabbi Yossi's position. Hachanami Kevin Devshar Lo Tarchinan. Excuse me, here too, the same thing should be said, that since you can do make do with three Sa'a, Rabbi Yossi would say, make do with three Sa'a, don't go with five Sa'a. To which the Gemara says, Mimai, who says, again, there's a unique factor in that other case. There's the concern for, as I call it on the in the table on your sheet, future testimony. You tell people, don't come if the moon is visible in a clear way. I'm going to sit there next month thinking, well, now do I go? And it's Shabbos, and I don't know if I should go. How clear was it? Did somebody else see it? And in the end, I'm going to decide, you know what, I'll stay home. Somebody else for sure. I can't be the only Jew who saw the moon. So therefore, I won't end up going in the future if you tell me this. Abul Hassan, but in the case of the three Sa'a versus the five Sa'a, dinimse zatamach shilom la'asin. I'm sorry. Right, I jumped the line. Thank you. Dilma akam lokam rabbi shmal hacha ela deleka nimse zatamach shilom la'asin lavo. Maybe over there, by the three Sa'a and the five Sa'a, there is no such concern. Abul Hassan, but in the case for the moon, dinimse zatamach shilom la'asin lavo, where there is a concern that you might end up causing people not to show up in the future, emek rabbanon spirulei, maybe he would agree with the rabbanon in and say that that's a different story. Inami, alternatively, I'm sorry. No, yes, no, that's right. Maybe in the moon case, he would agree with the rabbanon and he would say that they should show up, even though it's extra malach. Inami, alternatively, ad kan the loka amar Rabbi Yossi Hasam ela deleka tzarach gavoa v'lonit neshabas lichos. He'll say maybe Rabbi Yossi took his stance regarding the moon case because this doesn't involve the Beis HaMikdash, and and there's no grounds for violating Shabbos for this. But in our case, here, in this case, you're talking about doing it for the Omer. There is a need of the Beis HaMikdash just being satisfied. Shabbos is normally overridden for the sake of the three Sa'a. Maybe he would agree with the Rabbanan that you should go all out and do five Sa'a. So therefore, the two cases are not analogous. So we attempted to find three analogies for the position of Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, and we ultimately did not succeed. But now we get into a tangent from our discussion about the Omer on Shabbos, and we talk about performing justified malacha with improper intent. Okay? Because we could think about the person who cuts extra grain thinking this is needed. So now we're going to talk about a person in general who does malacha. He does extra malacha more than was needed with improper intent. And then it turns out that his malacha actually was necessary. So the intent was no good. It's the opposite of the kuzari. His intent was no good, but his actions were good. And we bring the case of a person who's supposed to shech the carbon chatas for the tzibur, for the community, and he shechs two inappropriately, but it turns out the second one was needed. That's where this is going to come into play. And the question is, so is he liable for that second shechita, itmar? We are about eight lines down in the wide lines, beginning of the line. Shachad shtei chataos shel tzibur. He shechted two communal carbonos chatas. Ve'eino tzarech ela achas. Only one was needed. So Amar Rabba v'itema Rabbi Ami, Rabba, or somehow it is Rabbi Ami, said, Chayav al hashnia upater al arishona. He says, the first one that you did was fine. Right? That was your first chatas. You needed a chatas. And it's not even potter. It's really mutter. It's just the contrast to the word chayav. But the second one, you're liable for because you didn't need it. V'afilu niskaper lo b'shnia. Even if he actually ended up using the second one, and Rashi explains, out of necessity, he used the second one. V'afilu niskaper b'shnia, Rashi says, k'gon sh'nishpach dam arishon ala achar shchitas shnia. You shechted the second one unnecessarily. But then, the blood from the first one spilled. So it turns out I need the second one. The ikala meimar lifter elagamri, Rashi says. I could argue, he's potter now, mishum de kamaisa bershus shachat. Afa gav de sof lo keeper ala bishnia, because when he shachted the first one, it was with permission. He needed a chatas. Granted, he didn't end up using it. Ushnia nami, haol uba keeper lifter alay. And the second one he ended up using, so therefore he should be potter for that as well. Afilu hachi, nonetheless, chayev ashnia upotter arishona. He's chayev for the second one, he's potter for the first one. Debaser shchita azlinon, because we follow the shchita. The person who stood up and did the shchita. Oh, who's making the decision overall? Beis Din. No?
Shouldn't it be everybody responsible for a carbon?
Whoever did the act of the shechita, though.
Well, is there one person who decides that they have to have carbon tzibur?
Well, the need for carbon tzibur is clear. Rashi gives you an example. It's l'chatas for the regel. So therefore, the Torah told me they needed it. He also mentions sarah avodah zarah, which is interesting. I wasn't going to go into that. The question of you're bringing a sarah avodah zarah on Shabbos, why not just wait and bring it on Sunday? Yeah. Why does that override Shabbos?
Who's making the decision that they should bring two carbon tzibur?
The person who got up and did the shechita, random person in the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah. Let's say.
Well,
I mean, if you want, we could create a parhalam davar shel tzibur and have the Beis Din be the one. I mean, if we want, we can always make it more fun, but I'd rather keep it simple.
That's for sure.
It was done in error. Yeah. So he says the question is only a mechanical one. Yeah. How did this happen? So that's the statement of afilu niskaper lo b'shnia. The vafilu nimtzeis rishona kechusha. And the key closing line is, even if it turns out the first one was found to be no good, it was found to be weak, and Rashi stresses, kodem shchita shnia, before you shechta the second one. You're not supposed to use it as the Pasuk in Malachi says, try to bring that to your human king. V'shachat shnia, and you shechta the second one, nonetheless, chayev. End of statement. Now we have a parenthetical note that's an important parenthetical note from the Gemara challenging our understanding of this case. You're telling me that where I found the first one to be weak, he's still wrong for shechting the second one. Umi Amar Rabba Hachi, does Rabba really say that? Didn't Rabba say, Hayu lefon of shtei chatos? In fact, if it's Shabbos and you have two animals in front of you for a chatos, achas shmeina v'achas kechusha, one is good, fat, rich, whatever, and the other one is weak. Shacha, and again, it's one chatos obligation. It's two animals that you could use, even though it says shtei chatos. It's not shtei chatos. It's not what we mean. The shachat shmeina ve'achach shachat shchuta, if you shacht the strong one, and then you shacht the weak one, then you're chayiv, because you shouldn't have shachted the weak one. Kechusha ve'achach shmeina, but if you shachted the weak one, then said, oh, that's weak, I'm going to shacht the stronger one, potter, you're exempt from liability. V'lo oda, not only that, ela sha'omrim lo havei shmeina l'chatchila u'shchot, if he comes to us and says, I found this animal to be kechusha, we say to him, l'chatchila, go ahead, go bring the stronger one. So Rabba clearly believes that you do shech the stronger one if the first one turns out to be kachush. So what do you mean he's liable for doing that? Iba yisema sami kachusha mikamaisa. You're right. Either I'll tell you.
Tell him that even if he shechted the weak one.
Even if he shechted the weak one already, correct. So he says, either, we tell, the answer is that the text that said kechusha is not correct. Take out the word kechusha from our initial discussion. You're right, kechusha would be acceptable. It will be accepted, not the kechusha. The kechusha is unacceptable, and therefore he has to check the second one. The ibayis, or if you want, ema, I will tell you, he Rabbi Ami Amra. That wasn't really Rabbah talking, that was Rabbi Ami talking. And Rabbi Ami takes a different position. But the upshot is that for our purposes, you're right, kechusha is actually an acceptable animal, and is not an acceptable animal, and therefore shechting the second one does not cause liability. You're not chayav for that. So Amale Ravina Ravashi. Now we get back to the discussion. Ravina says to Ravashi, I have a question for you. You're telling me that I'm not supposed to shech the second one. Nimtzeis harishona kechusha bibnei me'ayin mahu. What if it turns out the first one was weak, however you couldn't have known that at the time that you shechted the initial one because it was inside, it was in the guts of it. Rashi says, me'ikara kishacha l'shnia lo shechta b'rishus. He didn't know at the time that he shechted the second one even. In other words, he shechted animal A. And then he decided, I'm going to shecht animal B. And then he found out that animal A was useless, because when they open it up, they find, this is an inferior animal, and therefore, we should really use animal B. But I didn't know that at the time that I shechted animal B. So that's my question that I introduced this section with. Your malacha was done with improper intent, but it ended up being the right malacha. So are you chayiv or not? Basar machshavasa lazlinon. Do we say that you go with what he intended, the gavrali isura kamachavin, and what he intended to do was wrong, because he didn't know that he was doing something that was that was appropriate. That's our question. Now Rashi notes, it doesn't really mean the isura kamachavin, because it's a shogeg case. It was an accident. But what he didn't know he was doing, he would have thought was usur. That's the idea. He didn't. It's a double layer of ignorance. I was ignorant of the fact that what I was doing was appropriate, and I was ignorant of the fact that, given the information I had, it was inappropriate. It was just completely ignorant. So you come to him and you say, "Surprise! Guess what? I have good news for you. That animal was actually necessary. Surprise! You didn't know it was necessary." It's a double layer. So do I say that we go with what he should have thought he was doing, and what he should have thought he was doing was violating an isser? O Dilma Basar Maisa Vaslinan, or do I say that we're going to go with his deeds, and his deed in the end was to shecht an animal that was necessary? Amar Lay, to which she answered, this is our first version, we have two versions of this. Lav Hainu de Rabba Varava, isn't that the same as Rabba versus Rava? On the following issue, Ditmar, we learned Shama Shatavatinok Bayam Uparas Mitsuda. A person heard that a kid had fallen into the water, and he spread out a net. Lahalos Dugim, planning to catch fish. The Hela Dugim, and he caught fish. Sachaya, the Shabbos, you violate Shabbos. Fishing on Shabbos is a no-no. Lahalos Dugim, Vehela Dugim, Vitinok. What if he spread out the net to get the fish, and he ended up catching the fish as well as the kid? So our edition is Rav Amar Chayev, Rav Amar Potter. Alternate edition is Rav Amar Potter and Rav Amar Chayev. But it's a machlokes, because after all, he did catch the kid. The Adkan Rabba or Rava Loka Potter ala Kevin Deshama Amrinan Nami Daite Atinok. However, that's not the same as our discussion. In other words, there also, he intended the wrong thing. He intended to go fishing. He ended up doing a good thing. He saved the kid. So that's like the person who intended to shech the animal inappropriately. But he actually shech it inappropriately. The both cases are shogeg cases.
The first guy thought he was doing a mitzvah, right?
Right, and this person also... the first guy didn't think he was doing a mitzvah. He just didn't know that what he was doing was usur. In the same deal here. You have to say that they're both shogeg cases.
Was he doing a mitzvah?
No, he didn't know anything about doing a mitzvah.
So he didn't even intend it as a korban?
Correct. No, he intended it. He intended that animal as an unnecessary backup. He intended the animal as a backup chatas. He had to intend it as a carbon, or else he couldn't end up using it. It would be shechita shelo lishma. So it has to be that he intended to use it as a backup, which you're not supposed to do if it's Shabbos. You're not supposed to shech the backup chatas. But certainly on Shabbos, it's a bad idea. So can I make the analogy to the person who thought he was catching fish inappropriately, and turned out he was actually saving a life. To which he says, not necessarily. The Va'adkan Rabba lo kapata rela kevin deshama amrina nami daite atinok. He says he heard that the kid was in the water. There's no way he only intended to go fishing. You're not selling me on that idea. He's shogging across the board. He's shogging in our case and he's shogging in their case.
Did he think fishing was
yes, he thought fishing was permitted in the same way that in our case he thought that you could check this backup animal. Yes, 100%. It's a shogging case. So, in the case of the fishing, he wasn't truly fishing. He was fishing for kids. Sorry?
Because that was a shogig. How would he ever be chayv?
What do you mean? We're chayv for shogig. That's the whole point. Otherwise, you don't bring it. If you're mazy, you don't bring a chatas, right? Avalo shamalo. But the Rabba would not say the same thing in the event that he had not heard about the kid. So again, let's make sure we get our story straight. The case here is, in the case in our discussion is, he thought that he was shechting the chatas as a backup, inappropriately. It turned out that it was needed.
Because he wasn't aware of that.
But he wasn't aware of that. It turned out that it was needed. In the fishing case, he thought he was fishing. It turned out he was saving a kid. Can I make the analogy? No. Because I can't believe that this guy only thought he was fishing. He knew, the story is that he knew the kid was in the water. There's no way that he only intended to get trout. The two are not analogous. That's our first version of it. Second version, Vi'ika Diamri, alternatively, Amar Le Hainu Plugtayu De Rabba Varava. I'll say that they are analogous. That in fact is the same machlokas. The Idmar, because we learned, again, Shama Shatava Tinok Bayami, here says a kid in the water, Paras Mitsuda Lahalos Dogim Vela Dogim Chayiv. If all he intends to do is fish, and that's all he gets is fish, then he Chayiv. Lahalos Dogim Vela Tinok Vidogim, if he intended to get fish and he brought up a fish and the kid, so Rabba Amar Potter for Rabba Amar Chayiv, and I'll say it's the same as our discussion. Rabba Amar Potter Zil Basar Maisa. Rabba says he's exempt from liability because in the end he got the kid. Yeah. And Rabbi says, Chayev, you go with what he intended. And the assumption is he really did not intend for the kid at all. That's the idea. In the first version of it, it's not so clear why anybody would say he's Chayev even if he only gets the fish. If you're telling me he really intends for the kid, then even if he's unsuccessful, he was trying to save the kid as well. So that's not so clear cut, but we don't have the time to go into that fully. The other piece here that's very interesting is the question about shechting a chatas. Shita Mekubetza says it's only where you shechted a chatas as a backup. If you shechted an ola, there are multiple olas to be brought, and you could argue he was tarud, he was trying to do the mitzvahs, and he lost track. It's only because the chatas at Tzibur is rare. And therefore there's no argument of you were caught up in the moment. But the Gemara now returns to the discussion about minimizing the number of malachos that you're going to do on Shabbos. And we want to know, I mentioned this case yesterday, not realizing the Gemara was going to come into it, of cutting the figs for a patient who is ill. The patient is sick, and the doctor says, you know what, he needs to eat a fig. Okay, that's what he needs. He needs dried figs for his cure. But specifically, the case we're going to get to is the doctor says he needs two dried figs for his cure. So I have two options. On my local fig tree, I have one stem that's holding two figs. And then I have, in addition to that, I have one stem holding one fig, another stem holding one fig, and then I have another stem that's holding three figs. So on the one hand, you'll tell me, sever the two individual stems. That way you didn't do more than you needed. You only got the two figs. But on the other end, you had to do two cutting motions.
The dry figs or
not? Dry figs. Well, I guess they were fresh. Yeah, they must not be dried figs. Even though we said gross, you're right. They have to be fresh. Otherwise, cutting them today ain't going to work. Good point. Then on the other hand, if you'll tell me, do only one cutting action, then you cut more figs than you needed. Even though it's one cutting action. So that's my question here. We're going to try to draw an analogy to the Omer discussion about whether you do three sa'ah or five sa'ah. Omer Rabba, five lines up from the bottom on Samach Dalet Amud Aleph. Omer Rabba, cholesh amdu legrogeres achas. Let's say that you say he only needs one fig. V'ratzu asar b'nei adam ve'viyu asar grogeres v'bas achas. 10 people ran, and they brought him 10 dried figs, and there it could be dried figs, v'bas achas, all at the same time. So none of them were unnecessary, because they all did it simultaneously. So paturin, they're potter. And not only that, afilu b'zeh achar zeh, even if they went in sequence, one went and then another went, since all intended for the mitzvah, The afilu kadam behiri barishona. Even if he got healthy with the first one, doesn't make a difference. Rashi adds, hazar is l'chol meshubach. It's praiseworthy to be energetic and alacritous when you're trying to save the cholim. Boy, Rava. But Rava asks our question. They said you need two figs. And there are two figs, but on two separate stems. So you have to do two cutting actions. Or you could cut one stem and get three. Which do you bring? Do you bring two? Because that's what the prescription was. Do we bring three to minimize the cutting that you're going to do? When you pull them off the thing. So he says, Pshita Shalosh Maisinan. No, there it's obvious. You bring the three. Why? The Adkan Lokam Rabbi Shmuel Hassam. Rabbi Shmuel only said that regarding the Omer, that you do the three saw versus the five. Ela de Chimimayit Ba'achila Kamimayit Kitsira. Because when you reduce the grain, you reduce the amount of cutting. Achila here means the amount of grain you're bringing. Aval hacha, but in the medicine case, diki kamemait ba'achila kamavsha kitzira. Here, when you reduce the amount of food by bringing only two figs, kamavsha kitzira, you increase the cutting that you do. So therefore, it's not really analogous to our discussion. Vaday shalosh meisin, and of course you bring the three. And that's what you would, that's for sure what you would do. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense. Okay. End of that section in the Gemara. That's the harder Gemara for today. The rest of the Gemara today is a Garata. We now are done with Shabbos. We're not dealing with a Shabbos case anymore. And we're talking about bringing the Omer, what you use as your source for the Omer. Mitzvah ha'omer lahavi min akarov. The mitzvah is to bring from the closest place to Yerushalayim. The Gemara will explain why. Lo biker akarov li Yerushalayim. But if you don't have fresh new grain from close to Yerushalayim, maybe you know some mikol makom, you bring from wherever. Maisa sheba haomer migagos tzrifin ushtayalecha mibikas ein socher. Once they had to go all the way to Gagos tzrifin to get it, another time they had to go all the way to ein socher to get the shtayalechem for Shavuos, to get the grain for, even by then, they still had to go to ein socher. Masagora asks, my timer, why do I want to get from what's closer to Yerushalayim? Iba yiseima mishum karmel takriv, the bachet in takriv. One possibility is because the Pasuk says, you shall bring Carmel, which we take to mean Rach v'malei, had to be soft and full. And Rashi notes, if you bring it over a long trip, then the wind is going to blow, it's going to dry out and toughen, it won't be as good. Which is funny, because when you process grain, you actually want it to be dried out. If it's not, if it's moist, it's actually harder to process properly. Nonetheless, it won't be Carmel. Tosfos has a nice discussion there, a little brief thing about Gorin and Mosif and Vidorshin, how you turn Carmel into Rach and Malay. The Iba Yisema, alternatively, Mishum Dein Ma'avir and Allah Mitzvos, because you don't bypass Mitzvos. They have a mitzvah opportunity. Tosfos here, in the addition in the Shita Mekubetzes, is bothered, because Ein Ma'avir and Allah Mitzvos doesn't apply here. In Ma'avir Nala Mitzvos usually means I have two mitzvah opportunities and I want to know which one to do first. I reach into my bag. Remember we talked about tefillin shel yad and shel rosh? So I have two different tefillin I could put on. Which one do I put on first? That's not so relevant here. It's only one mitzvah to do. The question is, which object do I use for the mitzvah? If I am sitting on Shabbos and I'm cutting the challah and I bypass the first challah, is that also in Ma'avir Nala Mitzvos? Not necessarily. That's actually an interesting discussion. If I can pass the challah down the table, whatever. But the Tosfos is bothered because this doesn't fit the protocol for Ein Ma'avir and Ala Mitzvos. In any case, Maisa Shabaha Omer Migagos Tzrifin. They once brought it from Gagos Tzrifin. So Tana Rabbana, the Brisa says, Kishetzaru Malchei Beis Chashmonoi Zeh Al Zeh. When there was a war between the different princes of the house of the Chashmonoi, this is not the good days of the Chashmonoi. Yes. Vaya Horkinus mi bachutz, Aristobulus mi bifnim. Horkinus is on the outside of the siege. He's the one laying siege. And of Yerushalayim, correct. And Aristobulus is on the inside. B'chayom vayom ayu mashashlen dinar and bekubo. So every day they had a pact between the two sides that the people inside would lower money to the outside, and the people on the outside would give them the carbon tamid. It's interesting. The people on the outside are interested in maintaining the tamid, but only if you pay them. That's the way it works. So Hayasham Zakin Echache Makir Bachmas Yivanis. So on the inside there was a certain elder who knew Chachmas Yivanis, which Rashi says is remizos. He knew how to hint to the people on the outside. They pass them a message. Right, so there's all sorts of stuff on this, on who this was, and adding to the story.
It's
the Trojan horse, right? The Trojan pig. He hints to them with Chachmas Yevanis, and the implication is not just that he knew how to hint. The implication is also that it was the Greek knowledge that he had that corrupted him, as we'll see in the story. Amar Lahan, he said to them, as long as they're involved in doing the karbanos, they're never gonna be given over to you, they're never gonna lose. So the next day, when they lower the money, the people on the outside put up a pig instead. Kevin Shigia Lachati Choma gets halfway up the wall, nuts, Tziparna Vachoma, and his Daza Eretz Yisrael Arba Meos Parsa, it stabs its nails. In fact, I'm not sure that pigs have toenails, but it puts its toe, I learned that in a lab. I learned that in a lab, the fetal pig. Yes, maybe it's the hooves that are kosher. Could be. Yet see the Marsha in Sota. Here he refers you to his discussion in Sota. But he stabs his toes into his hooves into the wall, and Eretz Yisrael shakes 400 parsa by 400 parsa, which is the classic number for transplantation. The Ba'osa Shah Amru Arashi Gadel Chazir V'Arashi Alamei Beno Chachmas Yevanis. They curse those who raise pigs, and they curse those who teach their kids Chachmas Yevanis, this Greek wisdom. Ba'osa Shah Shaninu Maisa. I'm going to pause there, and that's when they ended up needed to bring the Omer from Gagos Tzrifin. A few quick things on this, very quick. First of all, Tosfos notes that there are other versions of what it was, when it was that they needed to bring from Gagos Tzrifin in general. And there's a lot more to say about this story, but it's not going to happen right now. But Tosfos also notes the Gemara later on in Menachos, in just another month, is going to say that you could theoretically learn Chachmas Yevanis, right? Ben Dama comes to Rabbi Shmuel and says, "Can I learn Chachmas Yevanis?" And Rabbi Shmuel says, because Ben Dama says, "I've learned Kol HaTorah Kula." And Rabbi Shmuel doesn't question him. He says, sure, find a time that's lo yom v'lo laila. Because v'agisa v'yom v'laila. But the implication is, if not for the bittul Torah issue, I would be allowed to learn Chachmas Yevanis. Right? That's what it sounds like. So Tosfos answers, number one, that the heter to learn Chachmas Yevanis in general, because we find some of the Tanoim getting involved in it, is for tzorech, only if there's a need, a particular need. Otherwise, it should not be. The second answer from Rashbam is that Rabbi Yishmael was before the Gezerah. But that doesn't work at all chronologically. Tosfos in Yevamos has three different Rabbi Shmuel ben Elishas, but it still doesn't work for him to be before the Chashmonoim are having this. The other piece is that Tosfos notes that the Gemara in Sota says they forbade learning Chachmas Yevanis in the invasion of Titus, which is much later than this. So he says the answer is perhaps that the first Gezerah didn't take. You made the decree, but it didn't take, so they re-decreed it. If at first you don't succeed, right? Try again. Alternatively, here it says aror, there it says usur. Maybe there's a distinction, but he doesn't like that idea. So they went and got from Gagos Tzarifin. Ushtei alechami bikas ein socher. When did they get from bikas ein socher? Kimata omer lavu yadi mehecha icy omer. When the time came for the omer, they didn't know where to get it. So Achrazu, they decreed, Asa Hahu Chersha, Osiv Chada Yada, Igra Vachada Yada Ad Sriv. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have paused. Ushalach and Bikazin Socher was just the closing line of our Mishnah. That was the closing line of our Mishnah. It doesn't really belong here. I jumped the gun. Kimataz Man Omer, so the time came for the Omer when during the siege, and Lava Yadi Mehechai Si Omer. They didn't know what to use for the Omer, how they should get grain. Achrazu, they announced, hey, somebody bring grain. Asa Hahu Chersha, so a mute person came along. The word chersha is used inappropriately here, the Rashash notes. Cheresh is usually deaf and mute, or deaf. Yeah. Mute is an elam. Nonetheless, we're using it to refer to somebody who is mute here. Osiv chada yada igra, v'chada yada yatsrifai, put one hand on the roof, and then he went over and gestured and put one hand on top of a hut. Amar Lahu Mordechai. So Mordechai says, Rashi is of the belief that this is Mordechai from the Purim story, living a very long time. Tosfos says, no, it's not. He says that they use the term Mordechai for people who held certain positions, in honor of the original. So, Mi Ika Duchta Deshma Gagos Tzrifin O Tzrifin Gagos. He said, oh, one hand on the roof, one hand on the hut. He must mean Gagos Tzrifin or Tzrifin Gagos. Is there any such place? Batkuvashkecho, and sure enough, it was there. The Marsha says that this isn't random. them that there was a cheresh and all that. He says what happened was they got rid of the fields intentionally. The soldiers got rid of the fields as part of disrupting the avoda. And then they only let the cheresh know where you could find grain because they figured, well, he can't tell anybody. He's mute. And so that's how this happened. So Mordechai is the one who figures it out. Then they need to get to bring the shtei alechem. They didn't know where they could find grain. I guess they used up the one in Gagas Trifin before Shavuos. So Achrazil, again, they said, hey, who knows? Asahu Gavra Chersha. The mute one came. I'm sorry, that's true. Maybe one was a barley area, one was a wheat area. Okay. So he put one hand on an eye, and the other hand on a sikhra, which Rashi says is the hole in the doorpost where you put the bolt. So Amar Lehu Mordechai said, Umi Ika Dukta Deshmain Socher O Socher Ayin. Hey, anybody know a place like that? They Badku Vashkachu, and sure enough, they found. Now, what position did he occupy that he would have been called Mordechai? That's what we're going to see right here. Hanu Shalosh Nashim Da'isu Shalosh Kinim. There were three women once who brought three different kinim, sets of bird karbanos. Chada Amar Lezivasi, Vachada Amar Leyamasi, Vachada Amar Leonasi. That's what each one said. One said it's for my ziva, one said it's for my yam, one said it's for my ona. And Savarmina, they thought, oh, these must be three zavos. Zivasi is zava mamash, a real zava. Leyamasi, for my yam, Leyamasi mamash, literally for my yam, my source of flow, meaning that she's a zava, she's flowing like the sea. La'onasi is la'onasa, her time, meaning it's day 8 of her count for ziva. But the kulu chada chadas v'chada ola. Therefore, one is a chadas, one is an ola from each set. And therefore, that's what we should do. And the women had left it behind. No one had actually investigated with them. That's all the people knew. Amar lo Mordechai. Mordechai said, Shema b'zov sichna, Shema b'yam sichna, Shema b'eina sichna. He says, no. Maybe she was in danger because of zov. She had too much of a flow. And that's what she meant when she said lezivasi. I saw somewhere else that someone suggested it was lezeivasi. I was attacked by a wolf. Shema b'yam sichna, maybe she was in danger at sea. Shema b'eina sichna, she was in danger, something happened to her eye. Dekulu olos nidu, and they're bringing a carbon ola as a gift. The baduk v'ash, it's interesting, not a toda. Yeah. But in any case, baduk v'ashkuch, they went out and investigated, and they found that it was in fact true. That this was what the women had intended to do. V'ainu disnan, as the Mishnah says, psachya al hakinim. Zem Mordechai. That when we say that Psachya was in charge of the kinim, that refers to Mordechai who figured out what the women had intended. Lama nikrashmo Psachya, why was he called Psachya? Sheposeach devarim v'dorsha, and he opened and analyzed things v'yodeh b'shivim lashon. And he knew 70 languages, just like the original Mordechai in that whole story of Big Son and Teresh. That's another association. Right, I don't know if Chachmas Yivan is counting this shivim lashon, apparently.
Maybe new sign language.
Right. Kulu Sanhedrin Nami Yadishivim Lashem. But the Gemara says, wait a minute, the whole Sanhedrin knows 70 languages. All the judges know that. The Tosfos notes that the Gemara Sanhedrin says you don't need 70, it's just two to understand it and one to speak it. But he says maybe 70 is Lavdavka, or maybe this is for Dina Nefashos, for capital cases, 71 judge cases. So, but. Okay, good. Okay.
Maybe that's a comeback
to the earlier.
Yeah.
Da'amar, and it could be. Da'amar Rabbi Yochanan, Steinzel's busy translating it into 70 languages. Chachmas Yivan is too, perhaps. Da'amar, so he says, Kul hadunami yadi shivim lashon. Da'amar Rabbi Yochanan, ein moshivim besanhedrin, ela bali chochma, bali mare, bali koma, bali zikna, bali kshafim, v'yodim shivim lashon, shlote sanhedrin shamasi, pia durgaman. Rabbi Yochanan says, your judges have to be wise, they have to look good, they have to be people of physical stature, Rashi says, to intimidate the defendant, or maybe the plaintiff too. They have to be people of maturity, and they have to be people of kshafim, of kishuf, Rashi says, in order to be able to punish sorcerers who are not vulnerable to normal punishments. Tosfos says it's to be able to judge their cases, like the Gemara in Sanhedrin says about needing to know kishuf. But they have to know 70 languages that they don't have to hear testimony from an interpreter. Ella, rather, what was unique about Mordechai was to have a bayalishni v'darish. He mixed up languages, he mixed together the things he was hearing and explain it. V'ainu dichsiv or dekaru, but Mordechai balshan, and that's why Mordechai is known in Nehemiah as Balshan, that's the name for Mordechai, because he's someone who can mix up languages and explain them. And of course, in modern Hebrew, we use the term Balshan for detective. It's the same idea. I have to run out to.